This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. Let us look at the questions. Let us look at the questions of the grave, my brothers and sisters. The first of them is Man Rabbuk. Please notice the grammar of the question. Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Singular, first person. The questioner is not asking for information. He is asking about a relationship. My relationship with my Rabb. Try to wrap your mind around this. The first question in the grave is about Ta'alluq Ma'Allah. The answer is also given in the same form. Rabbi Allah. Not Rabbun Allah. My Rabb, not our Rabb. Not the Rabb of all that exists. Rabbul Alameen. No. All of that is true. But that is not what we will be asked. And that is not the right answer. The right answer is My Rabb, Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah. Again, an answer which is not about information but about a relationship. My relationship with my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. So how will we answer about a relationship that does not exist? How will we answer about a relationship that we don't care about? If we care about it, what's the evidence? What's the proof? And if we do not like the current situation, what is the plan to change that before we have to answer the question which will have rather permanent consequences? Let me take you to another ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, speaking about himself and his glory and majesty, he said, He it is who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And days are not our 24-hour days. Days is whatever it means in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then istawa, rose over the throne in a manner that suits his majesty and grace. He knows what goes into the earth and what comes out from it. He knows what descends from the heavens and what ascends unto the heavens. And he is with you wherever you may be. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And Allah is the all-seer of what you do. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Do action. Allah is the all-seer of what you do. Now first of all, reflect on the glory and majesty of the address. And then notice that the one to whom all glory and majesty belongs is saying that He, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, is with us. Not nearby, but with, wherever we might be, and He sees whatever we do. Let's reflect on what this does to us. What it should do to anyone who reflects is two things. It should produce a huge feeling of contentment and thankfulness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me wherever I am, and it should take away all my anxieties and fears. So this is the first one. A whole sense of contentment and a whole sense of no anxiety, no fear. Alhamdulillah, my Rabb is with me wherever I might be. After all, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am with you, And he did that here, it means, I will help you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not with us as a silent spectator or as, you know, in some sort of inert way. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I am with you, I am with you means what? Like for example, if you say to somebody, go ahead, I am with you. Take that decision, I am with you. What does it mean? Does it mean, well, I am going to watch you take the decision, I am going to watch you fall into the hole? I'm going to watch you destroy yourself. No. It means I am with you, meaning I will help you, I will hold your hand, I will do whatever is required to ensure that you succeed. My brothers and sisters, being with you means to help and to stand by and to protect and to sustain and to provide. So this knowledge should produce a huge feeling of contentment and thankfulness and satisfaction. And the second part is, this knowledge is inshallah proof and evidence against sin. Because it would make me ashamed and afraid to commit any sin and to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way when I know that He is with me, not near me, but with me. He is seeing all that I am doing. Especially when I claim to believe that one day I will stand before Him Jalla Jalaluhu and be called to account. Be called to account by the one who was with me and was watching. Now how can I escape? If I was doing something haram, if I was signing an agreement to borrow money on interest, knowing that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu declared war on the one who does that, and I become aware that while I am signing this agreement, which will put me in the list of the people who are the enemies of Allah because they have accepted the declaration of war from Allah, I am aware that my Rabb is here with me and He is watching me doing this, and one day I will be called to account before Him and I will stand and my Rabb will say, what did you do? What am I going to say? Ya Allah, no, but you see, I was being forced. Somebody was holding a gun to my head. Oh, really? I am listening to something haram. I am eating something haram or doubtful. I am watching something haram. How will we answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, at least in our cultures, smoking is haram. And it's completely stupid. I always tell people, smoking is one of the major, if not the number one reason for lung cancer. So I tell people, don't buy cancer. Cancer is free. So that aspect of it is different. But in our culture, at least when I was growing up, if you smoked, then you went behind a wall or something and quietly, you know, you took a few puffs. If you were in your house and your parents were there, you would not light a cigarette in front of your parents. Even if your father smokes, even if your mother smokes, you would not light a cigarette in front of your parents out of respect for them. Because you know it is wrong. Why else would you not light a cigarette? You would pray before them. You would not hesitate to pray before them. So why do you hesitate to light a cigarette before them? If you really think that cigarette smoking is fine, then let me ask you this question. Do you know it is not fine? You're still doing it. Now, Ta'ala Allahul Amsal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond and over and above any example. So I'm not comparing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our parents, but I'm saying that when we have this much of awareness, when my parents are here, they are sitting in front of me, and how can I do something? How can I smoke a cigarette? How can I use profanity? How can I use bad language? How can I do something which will be disagreeable to them, which will be something that hurts them, something that they dislike, something which angers them? How can I do that? This is the thought in the heart of anyone with any ghira. I mean, bilkul beghairat hai to kya hai ki, magar agar zarri bhi ghairat hai. If you are completely, you have no ghira, no shame, then it's a different matter. But if you have any shame, any ghira, then this thought will be overwhelming and you know, superimposed on your consciousness to say that I cannot do something before my elders which they dislike. Now, as I told you, I'm not comparing Allah Ta'ala to them, but my point is, how then can I do it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When I claim to believe in Allah, when I claim to be a believer in La ilaha illallah, when I claim to believe that one day I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet I will disobey Allah openly, blatantly. How does that work? You get the point I'm saying? So two major benefits of the awareness. My brothers and sisters, think about this. This is a very sad and very tragic situation that we have converted a deen which is based on amal, a deen which is based on action, a deen which is based on the manifestation and the proof of the belief in action. We have converted that into a deen of words. A deen of words. Take the Quran itself. We are super focused on tajweed. Must be pronounced correctly. Must the lahan must sound beautiful. If you write the Quran, must be written in this script or that script or Kufic script or whatnot. When I'm reciting, am I reciting hafs or Warsh or... When I'm studying the Quran, then, you know, the meaning of the words. Right? Now, I'm not against any of this. All of these are required. All of these are good. Alhamdulillah. But what is the purpose of the nuzul of the Quran? Did the Quran come to be written in a beautiful classic, a calligraphic style and the book itself, illuminated with pictures and not pictures meaning not haram pictures, but obviously with, flowers and this and that and so on. Did it come for this purpose? Did it come to be beautifully recited? Only these things. Or is the actual purpose of the Quran to be lived by? Yeah? To be lived by. Think about a map. The days of the maps that we in this country we used to drive using maps. So say for example you have this beautiful, beautiful map, absolutely classic work of art. And this beautiful map, you love it and you look at it every day and you memorize this map. If somebody asks you to draw this map from memory, you can do that. And now you are driving and you are hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost. You are going around in circles. And somebody says to you, my brother, the map is there on your seat, right? On the next seat. Why don't you look at the map? So no, you see, that's a very beautiful map. It's a classical map, mashallah. It is a work of art. So, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you are insane. That work of art is worthless unless you use it for the purpose that it was created for, which is not for you to use it as decoration, not for you to appreciate its artistic value, but for you to follow that map to reach your destination and not get lost hopelessly in some place. That is the purpose of the map. The purpose of the Quran al-Kareem is to guide us in this life so that we can reach our destination, which is Jannah. Right? Anybody got a problem with that? You don't want to go to Jannah? And if you want to go to Jannah, you got some way other than the Quran, other than the Sunnah of Rasulullah. This is the meaning. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. Means, be focused on what pleases Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. If what pleases Him also pleases others, which would be the case if those others are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they love Allah, if they have a relationship with Allah, then what pleases them and what pleases Allah will not be two different things. But in case we come across somebody who does or says something and wants you to do something which displeases Allah, and if you have to choose between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and the pleasure of this other person, irrespective of who that person may be, then what do? You disobey that person and you obey Allah. What is the dalil for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to honor our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not even say uff to them. Lower the wing of kindness to them. honor them, respect them, be good to them, obey them, except if they ask you to join partners with Allah. Meaning, if they ask you to do something which Allah has disapproved of. Joining partners is not only to worship, is to commit shirk in terms of ibadah. Joining partners also is to do something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, but you are doing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it shirk. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Furqan, Allah said, have you not seen the one who has taken his desire as his ilah? So if somebody is worshipping other than Allah, has taken something else as his ilah, then it is not shirk. This is shirk and kufr. Desire. He's worshipping it. What does it mean? Worshipping the desire means what? Put a bottle of Johnny Walker and make sajda? No. Worshipping desire means to follow the desire instead of following the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not borrow on interest, you're borrowing on interest because you're following your desire. Allah says, do not drink alcohol, you're drinking alcohol because you're following your desire. Allah says, do not gamble, you go and gamble and you bet on horses and dogs and whatnot because of your desire. Allah said, do not commit zina, but you commit zina because of your desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't lie, don't cheat, don't deceive, don't eat haram. We do all of those things because of our desire. This is shirk. I am not making the fatwa. This is the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan. And also in another place in the Quran, twice this message has been given. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. This sense of the presence of Allah in our lives and with us the whole time is the shield against this. It protects us from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying somebody who is promoting the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, the question that I want to ask myself and you is, am I conscious of this presence of Allah with me, wherever I may be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am with you, but are we aware of that? This is the sense of awareness which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in Hadith Jibreel when he defined Al-Ihsan. That definition. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. To worship Allah as if you can see Him, and though you cannot see Him, know that He sees you. This is the definition that describes the result of being aware of Allah wherever we might be. As always, Rasulullah ﷺ gave the example of Salah, as it is the head of the matter and representative of the life of the Muslim. But as we know, the example and illustration extends to every aspect of the life of Muslim. Salah represents the Muslim's life, his attitude, his connection with his Rabb, and his response toward the world and its demands when they conflict with his Rabb, and what he ordered, it demands that the Rabb, our Rabb, be obeyed and not the thing. So, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ, to worship Allah as if you can see Him, to do business as if you are seeing Allah, to deal with people as if you are seeing Allah, and so on and so on. And though you cannot see Allah physically, know that Allah is seeing you. So when I'm standing in Salah, do I have this awareness, my Rabb is watching me? When I'm shifting and moving and combing my beard and adjusting my ghotra, my Rabb is watching me. When I'm talking to my wife, talking to my husband, talking to my children, talking to my employer, employee, whoever, my Rabb is watching me. He is there with me. He is watching me. When I'm eating doubtful stuff, my Rabb is watching me. When I'm dealing in interest, when I'm drinking alcohol, when I'm gambling, when I'm lying and cheating and backbiting and slandering and so on, my Rabb is watching me. When I'm doing the opposite of all this, when I'm inviting people to deen, when I'm inviting people to goodness, when I'm inviting people to do what is right, my Rabb is watching me. Who is a better witness than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself before whom we will be presented on the Day of Judgment. That sense of awareness is what is desired, and this is what is the meaning of Bhava Ma'akum Aynama Kuntum. Take the Salah, what a beautiful example, and if you think about this, how beautifully it reflects and should reflect our life. It begins with Takbir Tahrima, which shuts out the whole world when the Muslim dedicates himself to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, Allahu Akbar, the whole world is thrown behind my back. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. My job is not the greatest. The government is not the greatest. My husband or wife is not the greatest. My children not the greatest. My employer, employee not the greatest. COVID-19 not the greatest. No threat, not the greatest. Right? Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. That is where the Muslim dedicates himself to obeying his Rabb. This Allahu Akbar contains the glorifying of his Rabb, affirming his relationship with his Rabb as the only one worthy of worship, and being asked for help. It contains accepting and remembering the slave's return to his Rabb on the Day of Judgment. It contains dua for guidance, tawbah from all disobedience and misguidance, and submitting to him Jalla Jalaluhu in sujood. And it ends with salam, sending peace and safety on the entire world. That's the situation of the one who is aware that Allah is with him 24/7. Imagine the state and the situation of the Muslim who dedicates himself to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question or resistance, and the person is aware of his Jalla Jalaluhu's presence at all times, and who is a source of peace and safety for the whole world. How would such a person be viewed by the world? Let us ask how we can change our current situation and build a relationship with Allah such that we are conscious of his being with us always, wherever we may be. There are three things to do to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where not only will we love Allah, but even more importantly, Allah will love us. The three things are, I will list them, and inshallah we'll do what we can in this class, otherwise the next class. Shukr, which is thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2. Ita'at of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obedience to Allah and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And 3rd is ittiba of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Emulation of the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shukr is a factor of awareness. To be truly grateful and to express that gratitude, you need to be aware of and appreciate the thing that you received, and be aware of and know who you received it from. Then you can feel the appreciation and show it to the one who gave you that gift. Let us ask ourselves, what have I received from Allah? And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Look around you at others, human beings like us, who live lives straight out of our nightmares, yet they smile. Human beings like us who are bereaved, who have lost their families, their parents have gone, their children have died, and not just died, they've been killed. Human beings who were at one point in their lives well and prosperous, and suddenly overnight they've been reduced to being refugees in their own land. Human beings who have been maimed and who have been made sick mentally and physically because of the conditions that they have been facing, yet they smile. Go and live for one night in one of their huts on the edge of an open sewer and try to sleep and dream to the tune of buzzing mosquitoes while breathing in the stench of fresh sewage. I am describing for you the financial capital of India, Mumbai. In the biggest slum on the face of the earth called Dharavi. Around the feet of the home or house of one of the two richest men in India, Mukesh Ambani, a building that cost him $2 billion to build. It comes out, arises out of the greatest slum in India. It's a classic example of the complete absence of conscious. Conscious and consciousness. Yeah? Complete absence of conscience and consciousness. So do that. Go there and sleep in one of those huts on the edge of the sewer. See how well you can sleep. Mosquitoes buzzing, and you can guarantee that you will get your choices between malaria and dengue. And probably chikungunya. Yeah, multiple choices. Maybe you get all three. Smell the fresh sewage and do it in summer, it's more fun. And no mosquito creams and no deodorants, nothing, because they don't use it. And you are trying to live their lives, remember? Not day after day without a single ray of hope. That is their reality. But just for one night. Not even 24 hours, just for 8 hours. People like me and you, we think that we understand poverty. Poverty is not the name of lack of material wealth. Poverty is the name of lack of hope, of despair. And so you say, well, if you get sick, well, you got the money, you can go to the best hospitals. They don't have the money. They just die. Make shukr. Say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. I am not in that situation. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop moaning and groaning and whining about your so-called ridiculous problems. Remember that your problems are somebody else's dreams. Just like their realities are your nightmares. Anyone wants to exchange? Remember and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for there is nobody who deserves this more than Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Make zikr, bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your conversations at home and in your gatherings. Be concerned about and show concern for what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what doesn't. Ask this question, does this please Allah? What will Allah say about this? Make a list of all that you have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Write it down physically, paper and pen. Keep it in front of you when you are praying tahajjud. Keep it by your side and one by one in tahajjud, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Make tahajjud fard on yourself. And use it to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And then see the barakah of His Noor Jalla Shanuhu in your lives, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about dhikr, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Therefore remember me and make my dhikr, I will remember you, and be grateful to me and never be ungrateful. My brothers and sisters, more about this inshallah in the next class. But for now, I want you to think about this and say, what is it that I am doing to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He gave me. Unasked. Believe me, we did not ask. Some of the best things we have, some of the things that we are so proud of, are things that Allah Ta'ala gave us purely and purely from His grace and mercy. We did not ask for it. We did not know it was going to come. But Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu gave it to us. So let us thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala consciously and let us build our relationship with Him. Because that is the only relationship which will benefit us. Every relationship ends with death. Except our relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And because that came through Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our relationship with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are the only two which exist, which will go with us in our qabr, into the Alam al-Barzakh, and then on the Day of Judgment, and inshallah we ask Allah for Jannah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa bi rahmatika ar-rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.